It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're back live with more Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome back in on The Score. I'm with you for another hour until 2 o'clock, at which time it'll be my guy Gabe Ramirez and Lou Canellis from 2 to 6 right here on 670 The Score. Should find out in soon, actually. We'll get the final injury report of the week, see what it looks like exactly for the Bears, who will be at the Jets on Sunday, and how they handle Justin Fields. The prediction here is that it will be a game-time decision. The part that will be interesting to see is how much what they put down in terms of Justin Fields' practice. Is he cleared? Is he limited? Full participant? Because he's been limited this week. So there could still be some tells, even if the coach says he's a game-time decision. So we will stand by for that. We will let you know if it happens on my watch here in the next hour or so. I'm still open for calls, too. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767 to call or to text The Score if you'd like to do it like that. So I was at Hallis Hall yesterday and had a good couple of good conversations. This one was a group conversation, though, and it was the always engaging Jalen Johnson, a regular on The Score with Parkinson Spiegel. Jalen Johnson, Score guy. And I just put together a little chunk of this, and Jalen Johnson is asked about Garrett Wilson, but listen beyond the Garrett Wilson. The Garrett Wilson stuff is good too, though. So here's Jalen Johnson on Garrett Wilson, the Jets wide receiver, if you don't remember, the 10th overall pick in the draft from Ohio State. But here's Johnson on him.
I would say playmaking ability in the air and with the ball in his hands. Definitely a dynamic guy, especially at Ohio State. He did some really good things there and still continue to build that. He's still young. I can see there's still some things that he's still figuring out. But, of course, every young player is. But he definitely has a playmaking ability for sure that stands out on tape.
Can you pick Justin's brain and ask him for some weaknesses?
I thought he's a different dude than he is at Ohio State. So, really just who he is now, what he's put on tape so far.
We're all wondering what the reaction was from the defensive side when Justin Fields apologized after the game in Atlanta. What was your reaction when he started going off and apologizing?
We just really just let him apologize. We all knew it was his fault. Nah, not at all. But we all know that it's everybody. It's not Justin. We know what type of guy he is. We understand why he tried to do something like that, but that was something we deaded immediately. That's not what we're going to allow him to feel on himself. And at the end of the day, we all had things that we could have done better. So it's just not him.
What have you learned about Mike White, their quarterback?
Nothing. Nah.
What do you mean?
I didn't know. I didn't know he was the star quarterback, so you're telling me something new.
That's tomorrow.
Nothing. I don't know.
All right. That was the end. Did I handle it all right, Caesar?
At least he was honest, right? He didn't try to actually, I've been watching film on him. He just told you flat out, I don't know anything about the guy.
That's the beauty of Jalen Johnson right there, just being honest. Hopefully somebody was alerted. Sit him down, just show him a couple videos, maybe some flashcards. Here he is, Jalen. Send over, you know what? Let's send Mike White's Wikipedia page to Jalen Johnson. Just to put a name with a face for Jalen Johnson. Oh, that is absolutely wonderful. But Mike White has had some nice games, some success with the Jets. So, regular season, he is a 66.7 completion percentage rate
953 yards altogether, five TDs and eight picks. So beware Bears secondary, that there will probably be some opportunities. And I don't know exactly what the Bears secondary is going to look like tomorrow, because there's a couple of guys who have concussions for the Bears right now in the secondary that you want to watch. Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker. So, you know, that's, who knows if those guys will be playing. And so that'll mean that probably going to see some more DeAndre Houston Carson on defense and see what they can do creatively in that situation. But yeah, those are guys, and I know those are guys that people want to see in the development process as well. But yeah, Jalen Johnson, always entertaining, always interesting. A guy that I did get a chance to talk to a little bit one-on-one yesterday in the locker room was Chase Claypool. And we talked a little bit about this earlier before Jim Miller came on, but it is so easy to notice that beyond Justin Fields, probably the number one thing that Bears fans are frustrated by or interested in is Chase Claypool. And where's he at? What's going on? Where's the targets? You know, his first game, we saw that they attempted to go to him for a potential game-winning play to go up and get it. Where is that? Where is he? What's going on with Chase Claypool? And so I brought that notion, that premise to Chase Claypool while he was standing by his locker yesterday, and where he is in terms of being patient and wanting more. So here's Chase Claypool on that.
Yeah, like, I'm not really trying to put, you know, all these, like, external pressures, like, oh, you know, people are, like, looking at the stats, looking at my targets, and, like, a lot of people could look at, like, I could look at that and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I wish I had more targets, but, like, why do that? I don't care what my numbers are. I don't care how many targets I get. I don't care how many yards I get. I just really want to win.
Do you ever think about looking forward to starting with this team from the beginning of a season, training camp?
I'm super excited for, like, it's weird to say, but I'm super excited for OTAs and being able to get that full year in, because there's my whole route tree is different. You know, it's a little harder to run the routes you never ran before.
Yeah, and I think that Bears fans should like what they just heard right there. That it does. And that was on my mind. You need that to really become whole with this developing quarterback and this inexperienced offense, or average offense, however you want to put it. Like, you need the time. And so that's really where it begins with Chase Claypool, the OTAs and the mini camps and training camp. That's where you can truly evaluate that, because I know there's already, like, in Pittsburgh, they're already saying essentially that Pittsburgh has won the trade, you know, because, hey, this is what we expected out of Chase Claypool. No, the fact of the matter is Chase Claypool is to some degree being held back as well by the Bears because of the system that they are running now, which requires guys like Chase Claypool and anybody who is playing wide receiver on the Bears to be a blocker and to participate in the name of the running game. So that can be frustrating for wide receivers. It can diminish you in terms of what your number one job description is, and that is to catch the football in the air. So, I mean, you could see it from that side. But I got the feeling, and that was just a little snippet of the whole interview, I got the feeling in talking to Chase Claypool that he's cool, that he's patient, that he does hear you, he does see you, he does know that people are being critical of him and of the Bears, but he's saying, look, I don't have the whole playbook down, and he said, I can't wait for the OTAs. The OTAs already, what was on my mind was on his mind, that he's already thinking about things like OTAs and mini camps and training camp. So I needed that too. I needed that. That's why I talked to him yesterday. I was like, let me see how he's doing with all this, because when I tweet out Chase Claypool's name, or when I see a tweet about him or news about him, it gets a ton of interest for sure. 312-644-6767. John is in Logan Square. Hello, John. You're on the Score.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Great. How are you, man?
Good, good. So couple thoughts. One, I feel like there's kind of two sets of Bears fans, right? There's like the meatball kind that like they want to win every game and we always have a chance to make the playoffs or whatnot. And then there's the other half, which are a little more realistic, which is, you know, we need to rebuild. We need to restock talent. I think Ryan Poles has come in and done a really good job of getting rid of players that don't fit his scheme, or maybe he doesn't scout them well or doesn't see a lot of skill in them. And he's building something for the future. And I think, you know, a lot of Bears fans say, well, we lost this game by 3 points or that game by 4 points. We could be in the playoffs. That's such a waste of time. I don't get it. It's like it's happened with the Cubs, with the White Sox. It's not necessarily a rebuild, but it's restocking your system with talent so you can compete every single year on a sustainable level. Are you getting that feeling, too, that there's kind of two sets of your two polarizing kind of opinions right now out there?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And thank you very much for the call, John. I appreciate it. And, yeah, I mean, of course, I think that exists. But I think that Bears fans have been pretty good this year at understanding what this is. And yes, during the game, Bears fans are passionate about it. And when things are going poorly, they will voice their opinion. When they lose at the end, when they lose to the Detroit Lions at home, that sucks. And Bears fans are mad. But guess what? You always hear about the players getting the 24-hour rule. Fans get the 24-hour rule, too, to scream and rant and be pissed off and boo and hiss and whatever. Boo and hiss. And then 24 hours later, you're like, okay, it's 3-8. Season's about developing young players. How did Justin Fields do? How did Jaquan Brisker do? How did Kyler Gordon do? How did Braxton Jones do? Okay. I think that's the reasonable take. And that's what I, on my timeline and talking to you guys on the Score and the text messages, the majority of them are centered around the process of getting the Bears back to that sustained success, as we said. There was a good text earlier that I wanted to read, and I've lost it because the thread just keeps moving here. And that was that something, and I'm paraphrasing, that with all the money that the Bears do have next year, and everybody, we all know it's there, we don't know. This was the texter. We don't know. We have no idea how much of it Ryan Poles will use. If he will put a big dent in it, maybe he won't. And the texter had used a comp like from the Cubs. They've got the money. It's just a matter of when they want to start spending it again. So there is no the evidence is we don't know. Like Ryan Poles is still a huge mystery in terms of what this team is going to become. Like I think both Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have been pretty good. Like they've done more good than bad in sports terms. Like what they have done so far for this team. But we have no idea. We just have no idea how good they are at their jobs at this point, because it, you know, with what Poles has put together this year with some of the 1 and 2 year rank and file contracts, he knows that that's not the future of the Bears. Now you start to look at the draft class from this year, and Jaquan Brisker has been a thumbs up. I think Kyler Gordon has been, you know, an undecided. It's kind of a thumbs downy during earlier this season, but he's coming along. He's getting better for sure. And, you know, so those are the two top picks right there. Velus Jones, you know, I mean, we don't know where that is yet. I mean, I don't give up on that kind of speed and that kind of agility and what I see and have seen from Velus Jones on the practice field and whatever the case may be. It just looks to me like there's something there. But, you know, we don't know at this point with any of the draft picks for the Bears. Right now, Braxton Jones? I don't know. I mean, it's a tough call right now, I think. So, and then going into next year when you've got your draft picks, you've got your money, and let's see. You know, here we are now. Entertain us, and that is what is going to happen next year for the Bears. I want to get back to another Luke Getsy cut here. Kind of doing my version of the Bears report here right now. And Luke Getsy talked about the Justin Fields ratio, I guess I could put it as, the run versus the pass. And this, some of this was pertaining to last week in terms of what Justin Fields was able to do and not do in the loss to Atlanta. So some of that will come up here. But this is, and I think I left the question on this one, Luke Getsy on the we'll just call it the Justin Fields ratio.
When you're trying to seek balance in the offense and you have a quarterback who's so dynamic with his legs, how do you as a play caller figure the amount of design runs for him, but also knowing if something's not there, he's going to scramble? Like, do you have to factor in how many times he's scrambling a game to factor how many design runs you'll call?
I would say not really. I would say you would say more along the lines of how the game's flowing that you have to pay attention to more. But as far as like design runs, we're pretty specific about when the term QB design run happens, in previous weeks the thought was there was no QB design runs, but the defense was making us give the ball more. So are those QB design runs, or now what's changed is we've had these kind of put him on the perimeter QB runs where he's not supposed to take a hit, and he took two. Those were like the two hits that he took. Because we missed the edge block. So we want to do those still. I mean, those are important to who we are, whether it's with whether you want to call it a QB design run or not, but he's a big part of that. So we factor that into our whole game plan. So whether you're in situational football, whether you're in first and second down, he's always going to be a part of that. Now the scramble part of it, as long as he's not taking hits in the scramble part of it, then he can do that as much as he would like.
Yeah, and it is interesting. That's Luke Getsy to some degree defending himself because, yes, the idea of a perimeter run is that that the left tackle is able to block somebody and your quarterback doesn't get hit. That's the idea. And this is what Luke Getsy is doing now. He is put in a new offense in terms of what they want to do and how they are going about doing it. So that is Luke Getsy, the Bears offensive coordinator from yesterday. I got a little bit more Getsy on the Jets defense and what exactly they are doing. Also, Alan Williams, the Bears defensive coordinator. I asked him about all the chaos going on with the Jets and how that affects the planning, and Alan Williams also had something to say about the Justin Fields, the apology, as we will call it. Justin Fields apologizing to his Bears teammates for losing the game in Atlanta. So Alan Williams weighs in on that. And maybe the most important thing, there is an anniversary, which I was just informed of, that will require some audio brilliance. Classic. It's coming up next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Mark Brody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
What's awesome is when you live in the city, that's me, I live in the city, and you're making plans with your friends, and the plan is to go hang out in the suburbs, which, rather stay in the city. And then the plans change, and they say, actually, we're just going to come to the city. Is that, yeah. So That makes me very happy. I have a home game, and I know that everybody is really happy for me in that regard. So that, yeah, I just got the boost I needed. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You are welcome to call. I got another 30 minutes with you guys. So 312-644-6767 is the number. I actually think I want to do here, we're going to hear some more Alan Williams in a second, the Bears defensive coordinator. But do we have my anniversary audio ready over there, Caesar? Okay, so this, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest, this might be, I don't know, you can weigh in if you'd like, this might be, oh man, see Ditka that gets in the way, this might be the greatest rant of all time. And we've heard some doozies. This is 21 years ago today. Caesar?
I don't know. All I know is we threw four interceptions and fumbled once. One interception they returned for a touchdown. Three others were in our end of the field where they scored a point. That's all I know. That's inexcusable. Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game. Another game.
You know what's great is that I'm going to need to hear it again, but I don't even know what the word is for it. Like the little, before he says playoffs, there's like a little spit. It's the playoffs. It's that. Whatever that word is. However you make that linguistic sound. Where you're just so flustered and baffled, and you can't even get the words out of your mouth yet.
I believe it's the tightening of the throat, they would tell you, or something like that, right? Yeah.
Billie Eilish. It's just so great. Play it again for me, Caesar.
I don't know. All I know is we threw four interceptions and fumbled once. One interception they returned for a touchdown. Three others were in our end of the field where they scored points. That's all I know. That's inexcusable. Inexcusable. Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game. Another game.
Playoffs! So it's really not even the playoff part that kills me the most. It's the stuff right before the playoffs. Playoffs! Oh, so it's one of the greatest post-game rants of all time. And I don't know, is that one? That one is definitely funnier than Dennis Green. Dennis Green is great. And we have ownership of that in this city.
But Dennis Green is just more special to us because we're Bears fans, so we probably got to put it a little higher than that one because it was our team that caused that, you know?
Probably. But in pound for pound funny, it's Jim Mora for me. Like, in terms of, yes, the Jim Mora is the Dennis Green. There was something very satisfying about the Dennis Green one. Because it's like, Bears just win this game in spectacular fashion in Arizona. Epic things have happened. Devin Hester has happened. Brian Urlacher has happened. Great things. Unbelievable things happen. And so you get this dramatic win, a signature win for the Chicago Bears. And, you know, and in the franchises, I mean, you put that up there with one of their greatest games of regular season games of all time, for sure. So then you're just like a Bears fan. You get to fold your arms and be like, oh, the other coach is pissed off, huh? What did he say? And it's like, oh, that's great.
That's, for me, that's what makes it so much better. It's your team that caused it, you know, being a fan of the Bears. And you see all these rants all the time, but when it's your team that causes a rant like that, it's that much better.
We got in your head, didn't we? Our team, our Chicago Bears, got into your head. We are renting space in your brain, Dennis Green. And Jim Mora, man, oh, God. Playoffs! Oh, my God. And then, you know, it's even hard for me to not think about Mike Ditka in these terms, too, because he had some great rants, too. And no, I did not cover Mike Ditka, but, man, from the Ditka gave us so much gold. I mean, I think my favorite Ditka one was Wolfer can't cover. Yeah, Donald Wolfer can't cover anybody. I don't know if this team is capable of winning another game. And then the Bears didn't win another game.
So as a fellow, you know, football reporter, as yourself in that Jim Mora cut, do you think that was a bait? Do you think that reporters threw out there purposely to get that reaction like that?
I have no idea, Caesar. Play it again. Play it again, and then I'll give you the answer.
I don't know. All I know is we threw four interceptions and fumbled once. One interception they returned for a touchdown. Three others were in our end of the field where they scored points. That's all I know. That's inexcusable. Inexcusable. Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game. Another game.
Oh, man. Oh, so I didn't. The reporter's voice is not on it. I thought that for some reason I thought the reporter's voice was on it. So I don't know. That would be great. That would be great. There should be like an investigation. That would be like a good podcast to really zero in on that day.
If you can be honest right now, are you ever throwing questions out there just for reactions like that?
Hmm. I mean, I think to some degree we're all doing that. You know what I mean? I mean, there's some bread and butter stuff, but we're... not to get like a reaction like that, but we direct our questions to try to get a certain response, but that's a different thing. So I'm trying to think if I have ever been guilty of that. No, because it just happens. It's when you least expect it as a reporter. You just never know. And I'm sure that was the case with this reporter. Like, you just never know what's going to send somebody losing their mind. I've had some people, yes, I've had some people lose their damn minds with me. Yes. Oh, yeah. Jim Hendry once got in my face before a Cubs game on the Cubs infield yelling at a 10 at me. Because of Rich Harden. And remember, Rich Harden came and I was questioning velocity because before he came to the Cubs from the Oakland A's, his velocity had supposedly been down. And I was working for BBM at the time, and BBM had been reporting that the velocity was down. And so, as the reporter, it was my due diligence to ask what was going on. I asked Jim Hendry about that. He says, turn off the tape recorder. And then he was spitting close to my face, like, and just go, I don't know where you guys come up with this crap. And like, red faced, 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of the, and I'm just like, whoa. And I finally got myself together. I'm like, Jim, this is why I'm asking you this stuff. I'm asking you this because of the report. I don't know where you guys get this. Like, and then he just like walks away. So I go on with my day, and then I see him. This was back in the old Cubs clubhouse, the small one. And Jim Hendry was always pacing around in there. And I saw him, and I said something. I was going to say something to him, like, you know what? He's like, duh, sorry about that. He's like, don't worry about it. We're all good. And I'm like, oh, man. So, and I actually like Jim Hendry. Talk about accessible. That guy was extremely accessible and got pretty damn close. Like, it could have been Jim Hendry that should have been Jim Hendry, honestly, that got the Cubs at least into a World Series in 2003. So I do like Jim, and he was actually, except for that moment, very good to me. But not at that moment. And he's a guy, he always picks up the phone too. Always does. So
I don't know how much truth to it, but we got a texter from the 206 says that reporter who asked that question is now a gym teacher in Indianapolis.
Okay. I don't know what that means. Does that mean that you're not fit for this job? Really? Playoffs? Yeah. I'm just looking at some of these text messages as well. Oh, yeah, that was the one. Lee Elia. How could I not mention Lee Elia? We should be mentioning Les Grobstein a lot more around the holidays, because Les was a holiday guy, the Jive Turkey. Oh, yeah. A lot of people thought that was a joke. No, it was real. Forget about Jim Moore. He's got nothing on Ditka, that's for sure, or Dennis Green. But for me, actually, a lot of these rants, they do, most of the rants actually lack actual humor. Jim Mora does not lack the humorous part of that. Because, you know, Dennis Green didn't. Well, Dennis Green did say crown their asses. I mean, that was pretty sick. I mean, to hear that, that was fun. And then Ditka just came, he just came from a place of rage. Like, what maybe the rage that Jim Hendry was experiencing towards me on that day that I just talked about was probably the rage that Mike Ditka always had. I'm so glad. I got to be honest with you. Like, there's two things in my career. Like, I am so glad I didn't cover Ditka or the 80s Bears, because they're in a good place for me, man. Because, like, I think your opinion might change of some of those guys. I was a kid when, you know, the 80s Bears. So they're just like, I don't want to ever have them diminished in any way, shape, or form. You cover stuff, you see how things are made. So you get a little bit of a different perspective. So I love my perspective of those teams. It's like that with the 90s Bulls too, quite frankly. You know, I was in college. So like I don't regret, you know, missing covering the Chicago Bulls. I just wanted to be a fan for all that stuff. So it sounds like it was a pain in the ass, quite frankly, to cover them too. So 312-644-6767. We'll get back to my Bears report here in just a second. Some things that Alan Williams was saying yesterday about the defense and your calls. I got 20 more minutes. I'm here until 2 o'clock. So if you want to get in a call, 312-644-6767. Bear, anything goes for the next 20 minutes right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their but they are who we thought they were.
The pain's pretty high today, and just with throwing and stuff like that, like finishing throws, just the pain with that, you know. So I'm just gonna, you know, work throughout the week to just kind of get that motion down, try to, you know, get that pain down a little bit and see what happens, you know, Friday night, Saturday.
We're back live with more Mark Brody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was Justin Fields on Wednesday. The Bears wrapping up practice right now. As a matter of fact, Matt Eberflus should be speaking shortly, and the injury report should be coming out any second. I'll keep an eye on my phone and let you guys know if it does happen on my watch. And I will be here again until 2 o'clock, at which time it's going to be Gabe Ramirez and Lou Kanellis coming up here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The defense, we know, has been a massive issue for the Bears that, for the most part, has gotten a, I don't know, pass is the right word, but it's secondary, really, especially since, I should say, Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn were traded. And they had big issues even with those guys. It wasn't like the drop-off just was massive when they left. They're like gone. The Bears defense has been bad this year. They a lot of bad from the Bears defense this year. And we heard Alan Williams earlier today talking about how he is not going to give up, obviously, on trying to get to the quarterback with a four-man rush. What he was doing more of last week against Atlanta, I mean, we have seen it in the last couple of games. Every fan wants it. He has been blitzing more. There has been more blitzing going on, but not effective, as in we saw Marcus Mariota last week a couple of times on dialing up Jack Sanborn, and Sanborn not getting close to getting home, and Marcus Mariota able to convert big plays on third down. So they're trying stuff. They are out there trying, but it really just comes down to a talent deficit when we get real about what's going on with the defense. That's why so much of it is off to the side in terms of how we critique them or evaluate them. But another thing I was interested in with Alan Williams is what the approach is against a team who has benched their starting quarterback, who is bringing in the backup, and if that creates a bit of an advantage for the defense. Here's Alan Williams on that.
That's the NFL. The NFL is a game of attrition, and the NFL is a game of, hey, people, they get hurt sometimes, and sometimes guys may not play as well as the coaching staffs would like. And I know that Coach Sala and the offense over there with the Jets, they would say, hey, the next man up. And that's why guys get reps. That's why you don't just have one quarterback. You have three, and some people have four, and it's an important position. And I think guys are professionals. And if you've ever heard of Wally Pipp, you know, sometimes guys, when you go the next man up, sometimes, you know, don't sleep on the guy that may have been in waiting. So we will attack it. We will prepare. Just like he's been the starter all along, we'll go back and do our due diligence with past performances, past games, and make sure that we have our guys prepared.
All right, that is Bears defensive coordinator Alan Williams, and I admit I was distracted. I wasn't even listening to the cut that I was playing. I hope it was great. I hope you guys were entertained by it. No, I put it together, so I know what it was. But the injury report just came out, and Justin Fields is listed as questionable for the game. Limited in practice, just so Justin feels today. Limited in practice, questionable for the game. I assume, and Matt Eberflus is just now starting to speak. I assume he's going to say game time decision. That's what it comes down to. Maybe he won't even say that much, but we can definitely surmise from limited questionable that he's a game time decision. The only thing that could possibly happen between now and Sunday, in terms of actually finding out whether or not Justin Fields is starting the game, sometimes we'll get a report on a Saturday where they will make something clear. If Nathan Peterman is promoted to the active roster, that is the clue that will give it away. So there are some things that still could happen, but Justin Fields, again, according to the Bears' official injury report, just came out seconds ago. Justin Fields questionable for the game on Sunday. And I'll continue to let you guys know what the updates are and what Matt Eberflus is saying. There are some other interesting notes on the injury report beyond that, believe it or not. Jaquan Brisker will not play in this game. He is out because of a concussion. That is not a surprise. He did not practice at all this week. So Jaquan Brisker is out. You will probably see DHC, DeAndre Houston Carson, getting the bulk of those snaps or having a lot more action for sure. Let's see, going through the rest of this here. Dane Cruikshank, he is good to go. He's good to go. He had a hamstring injury. Kyler Gordon is also out for this game. He did not practice this week. He, like Jaquan Brisker, also dealing with a concussion. So those two guys are out. Tevin Jenkins looks like he is good to go. He practiced in full. He's been dealing with that hip injury. He practiced in full all week, and he is cleared to play. So assuming they don't pull a fast Michael Schofield on us, he will be back in the lineup, and Sterling Weatherford is out for the game as well, as he also been dealing with a concussion. A lot of concussions that the Chicago Bears are having to deal with right now. So that is the word. It will be interesting to hear once we find out and once we can bring it to you what exactly Matt Eberflus is telling reporters right now in regards to what is going down with Justin Fields and how he's going to word all of that. Back to Alan Williams, though, and you know, discussing the chaos, basically saying, look, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Zach Wilson's out and Mike White is going to play. You know, did made the Wally Pipp reference, which I actually think should be called being Tom Brady'd, or I'm sorry, Drew Bledsoe'd, because that's actually the better, like the more modern, relatable analogy there. Because once upon a time ago, kids, it was Tom Brady who took over for the big-time, first-round, big-money man, Drew Bledsoe. So that's really what it is. Never mind the Wally Pippen. And then one more cut from Alan Williams, and this will put a close on this story. And it's been a good story, and I've enjoyed the reaction that we've been getting to this from players and coaches and everybody that we can discuss it with. And that was the apology, the famous apology by Justin Fields. There's the Jason Hayward speech and the Justin Fields apology. The Justin Fields apology occurred last week after the Atlanta game. He apologized to the team, and apparently Eddie Jackson was like, no, 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 dog, you don't have to be apologizing for us. Here's what Alan Williams, the Bears defensive coordinator, said.
Alan, as the defensive coordinator, what was your reaction to Justin Fields trying to apologize to the defense for losing the Atlanta game?
I was sad. Really, I was sad because I go, no. I just go, no. There's no reason to ever apologize. If you saw the way he worked, the way he works, if you saw the way he uplifts his teammates, if you saw how he sacrificed, you go, nah. No chance. We appreciate it. We understand, because that's what a competitor does. A competitor, you know, puts the team on his back and shoulders the load. But no chance whatsoever that he needs to apologize. And I think every one of the guys echoed that same sentiment.
That is Alan Williams right there. I thought we were going to hear some music right there. Alan Williams, the Bears defensive coordinator. And, yeah, he made it pretty clear that, dude, like, I'm picturing all the defensive players in there while he is apologizing. They're like, dude, have you seen us? Have you seen what's been going on? No, don't need to bring up apologizing to us. So please don't do that. So Alan Williams had the right response to it. This has been a fun 4 hours. Thanks to Jim Miller for coming on. Thanks to Cesar Perez for producing the show. I see Gabe Ramirez in the hallway. I think I saw Luke Canellis in the hallway. So they will take you through the next 4 hours right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Have a great rest of your weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.